It's an absolute pleasure as we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to say hello to Howard Griffith, proud former Fighting Illini for the University of Illinois. He played with four franchises in the National Football League, and while he wore number 29 for the Denver Broncos, he was number one in the heart of Terrell Davis as he paved the way for a 1,700-yard and 2,000-yard season as he helped the Broncos win back-to-back Super Bowl championships. He joins us now. Howard, how are you?
I am doing well, fellas. How about you guys on this wonderful Friday afternoon?
Oh, it's another day closer to game day, so it's a great day. We sure do appreciate
exactly.
your time.
All right, no problem.
Well, first, if you don't mind, the fanboy in me has to know, what was it like to just be a part of everything that was with the creation of, the implementation of, and just the incredible success of the Mile High Salute?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, you know, you set out to, you know, ultimately win, you know, world championships when you play this game or win championships. And, you know, I was fortunate to be a part of a team that was able to win back-to-back championships. So it's something that I truly cherish.
How different was it going from the ultimate underdog in Super Bowl 32 to the expectation that went with the year that led to the second title, and that was the prohibitive favorite, Super Bowl 33?
Well, I think they don't even compare. I think the second time around, you hoist the trophy, you immediately, you know, look around the locker room and you see that you're going to have the same guys are still under contract, and maybe you can add one or two more pieces, but you know you want to go out and repeat, because that's the most difficult thing to do. It's a lot easier to win the first one than it is the second one, because everyone's giving you their best shot. And I usually tell the story like this. After the first Super Bowl win, guys couldn't wait to get back into their suits so they could get in front of the cameras, go back to the hotel and party. After the second one, guys literally just walked out of the locker room with shorts on, a torn T-shirt or whatever they had, because we were absolutely exhausted from trying to accomplish a goal that we set out to. And once we had done that, it was really just a sigh of relief.
You had the great screen pass that was a catch that was so pivotal in Super Bowl 32. You got to score a touchdown in Super Bowl 33. One moment better than the other for you, or just both? Hey, just glad to be a part.
Yeah, both of them were great moments, but I tell this story as well. In the first Super Bowl, John Elway, we're running a bootleg, and I'm wide open. I know I'm going to get the ball, and I'm just saying, throw the football. And John just decides to run it in, which was the right move to make. He points at the linebacker, and I go block him. Then he looks me in the eye like a great leader would say. He say, "Hey, bud, I didn't trust myself throwing it to you, so I just ran it in." And I'm like, "Yeah, you just didn't trust me. You just wanted to make sure you got the touchdown."
Oh, Howard, so the Big Ten looks like they're going to get going again. Just talk about this whole process about the Big Ten hoping to resume action the weekend of October 24.
Yeah, listen, everyone knows that, what happened as far as the Big Ten is concerned. And then it really came down to a lot of the medical evidence that was laid out going back 40-plus days. And fortunate for the competitors, not just football, but all fall sports, that the medical evidence continued to change. And Big Ten was able to get a hold of more testing. And, you know, now they have an opportunity to go out and compete. It's going to be a couple of weeks that these teams have to get ready to go out and perform. But they're going to be testing on a daily basis. I think contact tracing, or if you contract COVID, you're going to be out 21 days as opposed to the 14 days. There's going to be extensive heart monitoring that's going to be going on. So I think a lot of the things that were questioned before, we have more evidence of it and more information in a much better and, I think, a robust testing protocol that's going to allow our teams to go out and compete. Because one of the things that I think was probably and still is, contact tracing doesn't really work. One, we can't afford, most teams can't afford to do it. Two, you don't know. And we've seen it throughout, you know, college athletics. You have to be able to test the same day, everyone that same day, and be able to get test results back immediately so that you know that everybody that's going into a venue or going to be playing in a particular practice or game is going to have tested negative for COVID. So, you know, it's been a long process. Obviously, the Big Ten has taken a lot of heat with it. But at the end of the day, you know, hey, They're going to try to go out and play some games next month, and I'm looking forward to it.
Did you think the Big Ten acted too quickly August 11th?
You know, it's hard for me to say that, and the reason I say that is I wasn't in the room and wasn't privy to the medical information that was given. Now, there have been some presidents and chancellors have come out and said there was just absolutely no way that they were going to risk the health of student-athletes, and they didn't feel like it was enough information that they had that they could be able to keep them safe. Now, in saying that, the schedule was set up as, okay, if you can push it back and you can wait and you can wait. But from my perspective, and I guess the perspective of a lot of the administrators, that the evidence that was laid out was just overwhelming. And that's really the only thing we can go with. I am excited that, you know, there was a reversal, because if you go back maybe three weeks ago, there was no chance this was going to be revisited at all. And I think that statement of not revisiting it is going to allow moving forward some of the players who have opted out for the National Football League to be able to come back and be able to compete with their teams, even though they may have signed with agents.
Now, that leads me to this question. Because of these unique circumstances, do you think that even if a player signed with an agent, that he should be able to make restitution and have immediate eligibility?
Yeah, I think they're going to be granted immediate eligibility. The question is, right, if they've taken benefits, if they've taken cash. Now, again, I say because the words or the phrase, "we are not going to revisit this vote," would have sent a potential first-round draft pick out into the real world, signed with an agent, and whether that was if he started prepping for combine training or working out with at a certain facility, you know, there would have been some benefits that most likely would have passed hands. But as you just mentioned, this is a very unique situation, and I think that if restitution is paid, as you mentioned, I think they will be able to be granted their immediate eligibility. And listen, we're in a crazy time right now. And I think if you have an opportunity for a young person to come back and compete and continue their academic endeavors, that they should be given every opportunity to be able to do that.
Our guest is Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Howard, what do you think the next five or so weeks are going to be like for these Big Ten football players that now know there's a target date and the chance that they're working towards something as opposed to kind of just practicing?
Well, here's the challenge, right? I think the institutions and teams that were able to keep their players engaged, because let's look at it this way. If you're a young person and you're just having your season taken away, and you're still being asked to follow protocol and do some of these things, knowing at that particular point that, you know, we're not playing this year. We might play in the spring. You may tend to drift off and do some other things. So that's why I think that the teams that have the best strength and conditioning programs, the best motivators in those programs, not necessarily the head coach, but the strength and conditioning coach and his or her staff that are able to stay engaged with the young people and keep them involved, I think will be able to have the most and the best success as they start to transition toward football. They had a chance to go out and immediately start practicing, I think, 2 days ago, and we're going to be able to find out. But, you know, there's going to be some questions. There are going to be some soft tissue injuries that are going to happen, and that's why I go back to strength and conditioning programs that are best set up, that know what they're doing, are going to have a great deal of success, I believe, as they start to transition toward football.
My guess is that in your role as an analyst, you've been asked a lot about several things that Jim Harbaugh has said over the years, but I'm just wondering, is there a better phrase for 2020 than stay positive, test negative?
Yeah, you know, listen, most people either love or hate Jim, because he'll come up with some things, but one of the things that I've always had a great deal of respect for, he always fights for his team. He's done some great things, and I know people have really ridiculed him and talked about him about taking his team, you know, out of the country or exposing them to some different things and calling it spring practice.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated that part of it because, you know, somebody who's played in the National Football League, there's still nothing like being with your teammates in college when you take some of those trips, whether it's a bowl trip, whether it's a special game that you guys are going to play. Just bonding with your teammates and being able to travel like that is one of the things that's always stuck out to me, even when I look back now, at my playing career collegiately and professionally. It was the traveling and the bonding. So, hey, he's got that part of it figured out, but he's got his hands full. He's got to try to win some games, obviously. A lot of pressure has been on him lately, but nobody puts more pressure on themselves than Jim Harbaugh, trying to make sure he can get this Michigan program back to where it wants to be. But Ohio State and Penn State kind of keep standing in the way.
So which team is the biggest challenge to Ohio State? Is it Michigan? Is it Penn State? Or is it somebody else?
You know, that's a difficult question. Usually I have an opportunity to see all these teams in the spring, and then again I see them in the summer on a bus tour. And not being able to do that has kind of put me a little bit behind. But I would have to say it's still Penn State, a very talented football team. If I had to look at a couple teams that are in the East, I think Penn State right now is a little bit better situated from a talent standpoint than Michigan is right now. If I looked at a team that was over in the West, I'd probably say Minnesota has an opportunity to continue to build on what they did last year, had an incredible year. And Wisconsin, the Badgers, and all of these teams that I've mentioned are returning quarterbacks. But when you look at the roster that Ohio State has, I mean, that's a championship roster that they have. And now they're going to be gaining the addition of two gentlemen or two players who opted out, arguably one of the top corners in this upcoming draft and one of the best offensive linemen in this upcoming draft. And those two guys are really going to help their program continue to fight for a championship this year.
All right, I got to ask you this question. Now, let's take out your prejudices of maybe like in Illinois or the Denver Broncos. When you watch a college or a pro game, do you pull for the teams that have a fullback?
Kind of hard to do. Although last night, I believe Cleveland was playing with a fullback a little bit. So that made me a little happy. But listen, there are not many around anymore. Even at the college level, you don't get a chance to see them. But it's really been the evolution of football. This has really turned into a play game in space type of offenses that are out there. So they want to get the ball in the quarterback's hand, the quarterback get the ball to favorable matchups, and that's what really happens. It's about really forcing defensive players. It's so hard to play defense at the college and pro level right now, because most of the time these guys are really conflicted in what their eyes see and what their studies have been teaching them to do as they get prepared for the week. When you run these decide option plays, run pass options, there are so many options that the quarterbacks have. So when you face one that truly is special, that is a true dual threat that can run the ball or he can drop back and pick you apart, it makes it very difficult to try to slow those guys down. Having a fullback made it a little bit easy, but that's not where the game is right now.
Howard, what has it been like to see your son Houston go to Notre Dame, and how crazy is it to see Notre Dame competing in the ACC this season?
Yeah, there are a lot of crazy things that have gone on this year, and I don't think anybody would have ever thought that you would see Notre Dame competing in the ACC or in a conference. Forget just the ACC, just playing conference football. This year, obviously, that's what's taken place. And, you know, it's been exciting. You know, it's been exciting. It's a team they've got, you know, an opportunity, I think, to play South Florida this week. And, you know, this is a team that's pretty talented. But like most teams that are out there, you know, they're not only competing against the competitors that they have on the schedule, but COVID is also going to be an issue. I think Baylor and Houston's game has just been postponed within the last hour or so. So, you know, there's so many crazy things that are going on. It's been difficult for, you know, I think all coaches and athletes that are trying to compete and want to compete. If you're talking about Big Ten athletes who've had that taken away from them, now they're going to have that opportunity to go out there and compete, but they still have to continue to be vigilant and follow the protocols that their schools and institutions have put in place so that they hopefully can stay safe and can go out and be able to compete at a high level.
Howard, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, and would really love to have you back on with us in the future to talk more Big Ten football.
Hey, anytime, guys, and enjoy this weekend of football. It's almost like we've got to make sure we take in each and every week, because we don't know what the next week is going to hold for us. So enjoy, stay safe, guys, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. Well said to you as well. Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.